is the Lord. Message number 28. The title of the message, Kingdoms, Principles, Part 3. Let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 18 and let us read verse 15 to verse 17. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or tax collector. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time you give us. We thank you for this opportunity that you offer to us to come and share your word and listen to your voice and learn from you, O God. We thank you for the leading of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word that you put in the Bible that we can read and we can get directed and get understanding and wisdom. Lord, uphold this message with your grace and anoint my lips and put words and verses and arrange it, O God, in the way that you want it to be. I pray that the message will bring hope, will bring help, healing, salvation, deliverance, answer for question and wisdom and way of doing life and ministry and serving you, Lord. Lord, we pray that the message will bring a sound teaching to your church and to your leaders that you put to care for your flocks. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Master. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Church of God, the Church that the Lord had planted, is highly organized structure. The Church is governed and overseen by the Holy Spirit and led and instructed with the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit continuously call people to be accountable to lead the church and to shepherd the flock in the way of righteousness according to God's word and his promises. In book of Acts chapter 20 verse 28, the word of God tells us, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So the Holy Spirit called people to lead the church. God has given us the word of God. The Holy Spirit will instruct us, will lead us to the scripture that we can apply at the right situation at the right time so that the church will be managed and will be nourished and will be led in the right direction that God wants us to go on forward in serving him. Also, when we speak about the church is not a building, but the church is composed of the people who respond to God's call, to Jesus' call, and accept to come out from the world and to live their life unto him. As you hear the message, as God had called you to come out from the world, you are part of the church of God that God had redeemed and God had bought with his own blood. Now, the Lord will not leave his church without love and care, but he always would raise up people and put them in charge to care for the flock and keep the church in order in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. In Matthew 18, he gave us principles to follow. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 18, as we had spoken in the previous and part of this message kingdom's principles. He gave us an instruction that we need to follow to make life and ministry easy. Here, the next principle is how to deal with a brother who sinned. Christ died for our sin to give us eternal life, but sin bring death and bring people to hell. And as a church, we hate sin, but we love the brothers. And we endeavor with the Lord to save them and to snatch them out from fire. A brother in the church is a person for whom Christ died on the cross and gave his blood. If he was sinned, he needs to be restored in the right way, as we have read in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. Otherwise, if he will not repent and restored, he lost his eternity. How we restore, how we go, how we deal with sin. If your brother sins or sins against you, sin must be purged out from the church. The sins that anyone is doing, it will lead to death. And we need to deal with it properly. We are responsible to each other, and we are accountable before the Lord to one another, to preserve, to teach, to correct, to admonish, and to discipline. That is the way to deal with sin. If your brother sins or sin against you, once you discover a sin, there must be an action to correct that situation. What do you need to do? Go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. Once you discover that your brother had sinned, don't start to gossip and speak to others about it. Many, they will go here and there, they will speak about that brother or that sister, about what they have done wrong, but they have not yet spoke to them. When I hear this, I ask, have you spoke to him? They say no. I say no, you have to go and speak to him first. You have to tell him first. He must be the first one to hear from your mouth. When you discover anyone have done something wrong, your one of your brother or sister, you should first thing, close your mouth, pray to God and ask him the wisdom and the courage and the right word to go and to speak to that brother and sister. You say you go and speak to him directly between the two of you. Just between the two of you. No need to anyone to know about it. Because that is the way of the Lord. That how you show your love to the brother and the sister. God does not want anyone to know about that sin. Because if the brother or sister have sinned and they are willing to repent, then the Lord would cover up their sin. And no need that others would know and get scandal, and those brothers and sisters get ashamed and may not respond to our correction to them. When somebody else will know about it, they may feel ashamed and they may get the pride, and we are responsible of not bringing them back to the Lord. If you are the one who discovered a sin, it is your responsibility to be the first one to go to him or to her. Before you move, bring the matter to the Lord. Pray for your brother who has sinned or sinned against you. Pray that he will repent. Ask God forgiveness for his sin. And ask God to grant him repentance. Pray that God would enable you to speak to him or to her and to prepare him or her, to prepare his heart or her heart to listen. After a period of prayer, go and speak to him you alone. Speak gently and speak the truth in love without compromising. If he listens to you, if she listens to you, you have won your brother or sister over, reconciled to her or to him, and everything is over and everything is settled. When people, they come to me and they told me we have discovered this and somebody did that, the first things I do, I say, you need to go and face that brother or that sister with what you hear or with what you see. They say, no, 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 no. I say, no. You need to go yourself, because that is the command of God. And as we obey the command, then the Lord will work mightily in our midst. Some they say, oh, I am not the pastor, I am not the leader, I am just a member in the church, I am just a young believer. But as you discover the sin, God wants you to be responsible and accountable to purge the sin. If some people, they keep it quiet, that by itself is a sin. If you discover somebody is sinning and you keep it quiet, you are sharing with this sin. You are working against God. You are working with devil, because if you keep it quiet, that's what the devil wants. So the sin will continue and more destruction will be coming in the church. So the first things you need to do, you need to go to him or to her and to face. God wants us to be a people of courage, a responsible people, not ashamed of the gospel. Don't be afraid. God is with you. As you do his will, God will grant you success and will give you favor, and he will touch the heart of that brother and sister to repent, because God will honor your desire and your will to follow and obey his word. So if you listen, everything is over and settled and no one knows about it and everything is done well. But if you will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If you will not listen, then you open the matter. After you open the matter with him and he does not listen, and she did not listen or he did not listen, then go to one or two mature brothers or sisters in the Lord and open the matter for them and ask them to help you to speak to the brother or to the sister who sinned. What is the importance of to go to one or two brothers and open the matter to them? When you open the matter to others, especially those who are mature and responsible in the Lord, they will pray with you for the issue and they will help you to take the right step. Also, they will agree with you if they find that you are right in what you say, as well as if they will find that you are at wrong, they will be the one to explain to you that this brother or sister, they are right, but you are at wrong. That is the importance of opening the matter to others. Maybe even you are wrong. So, you need to go and say sorry and correct yourself. But if the brother or sister are wrong, then those brothers and sisters whom you call to help, they will pray with you and they will take the right step, the right decision, and they will go along with you to be also the witness for the sin, so that every matter will be established by the testimony of two or three people. If he repent, then you win your brother over. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. The third step is that for that brother and sister to be restored and delivered from sin, if he refuses to listen to you, and second, if he refuses to listen to the two or three people that go to speak to him with you, then the leaders of the church should know about that sin, because the church must be clean from sin so that the sin will be dealt with accordingly. That brother or that sister who are not willing to repent, then now the church must face them. They ought to face them with the truth, to repent and to keep the church and the fellowship of believers clean from sin. Now, the church must stand for the truth. If that person refuses to listen or to repent, now he must know that the church is not agreeing with his way of life. He must know that the church is not willing to compromise, so that he will not be continue to do sin. If he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. The fine thing that the church need to do is to excommunicate with the one who distrusts sin, to put him out of the church fellowship, and to be treated him as a pagan or a tax collector. He will be treated as non-believer since he refuses to listen to Christ and to his word and to the church that he had a place on earth. Now, that is the love of God to everyone who is called to come out from the world and to be part of the church. Sin has a destructive power. And when we discover sin, we should move with, not with anger, but with pain and compassion, with prayer and crying for that sinner to be saved, because sin will bring to hell. And we need to do exactly what the Word of God teaches us. That is the way. First, to go to Him alone. Second, if you refuse, take two or three. But if you would follow the Word of God, then from the first step, sin will be over, because the Lord will honor our desire to obey His word and to keep His church clean. The Lord will work with us, because that is a promise. If not, the person will not repent. We take two or three. We go two or three together, and we speak again. And if he refuses, then the church must know about it. And if he refuses to listen, then we have to treat him as non-believer. That is the decision that the church take to honor the Lord. The Lord also will honor it. In verse 18, Matthew 18, verse 18, I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for it, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Hear what he speaks, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And here when he says, if two or three agree on earth about anything, it will be done for you. That he is speaking about the church decision how to deal with sin. If a person does not listen to the church, the church will treat him as non-believer. And the Lord will agree with that. The Lord will work with the church to bring that person to repentance. But if the church refuses to obey, and the church makes things loose, if you say, okay, that's fine, it will, the church will not condemn the sin. The devil will take over of that brother or sister, and he will keep him away from the Lord, and will keep him living in sin, and he will not be saved. But when we agree that this sin must be purged, and if this person does not repent, we will treat him as non-believer, the Lord will honor that and will convict that sinner, and he will combat him, and he will force him to repent and come back to the Lord and part of the fellowship. We should not be afraid, because now there are many churches and fellowship around. If you speak anything, they will go to other church. Yes, we need to speak. There's no compromises. We are not interested to increase the number of the members, but the Lord will be upset with us. We are interested to do God's will and to obey the Lord, and the Lord Himself will add more for our members. There's no compromises in doing the work of God. The more we are standing with the truth, the Lord also will stand with us, and He will help us, and He will make our ministry more effective for His glory. We should not do that out of anger or selfish gain, but as we are willing to obey God, then the Lord will help us in taking a disciplinary action against those who persist in their wrongdoing and living their life of sin. The church must be cleansed from sin and from those who are not willing to repent. Because what the picture will be for the non-believers about the church, if we keep evildoers inside, what will be the picture for the new believers? How they will follow God if we condone sin? If we keep sinner and evildoers inside without correction, without discipline, then the atmosphere will entice others to go into wrongdoings. We need to deal with sin appropriately and promptly so that the others will take heed and they will, fearing the Lord, and walk in His way, in the way that the Lord wants us to be. That must be very important. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 20, those who sin are to be rebuked publicly, so that the others may take warning. Those who refuse to listen to the church, the whole church should know about it, and they need to be rebuked, so that the other will take warning not to do that same sin as that brother or sister did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, there was in that church sin, immorality, and they were doing sins and wrongdoing. Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it is actually, verse 1, it is actually reported that there's sexual immorality among you and of a kind that does not occur even among a pagan. A man has his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? They were having sin of such kind, and everyone is quiet, everyone is silent. And that is sometimes what is going on. People, when they do wrong, they will not speak to the person. They will speak behind them. And they will keep them inside the church. Who is happy? The devil. Because the other will be also affected. The others also will follow their examples. And there will be a church unclean and more rebelliousness and more things that's against God. And such church will not serve the Lord, but will work against God. What Paul had advised the church at Corinth, he told them in verse 11, but now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral, or greedy, an idolater, or a slanderer, or a drunkard, or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. He told them, don't associate, don't keep them inside the fellowship, take them out. Who are those? Those who call themselves brothers, those who say that we are believers and how many years we are in the Lord. I am not speaking here about those whom we are reaching out in you and they don't know God but they live in sin. No. Those are not included in this category to be expelled. Those who are workers and those who are committed believers and those who say that we are brothers but they do sin. We need to deal with them with their sin properly. If they refuse to repent, then we cannot keep them inside the church. What are these categories that we cannot keep? Sexually immoral. They come to church and they are living in sin. They have extramarital relationship. They have affairs outside their marital life. They live with a partner without marriage. All these are immorality. Or a greedy person. Person come to church and his heart after money, how to make money, he used the church to make money. We should not associate, we should not keep such things among us. And then the later, those who come to church, but still they worship idol. And they are long time in the Lord, but they refuse to repent. Or a slander. Some people, they keep speaking against everyone. Against the pastor, against the leaders of the church, against the brothers, against every family. Such people should not be kept inside the fellowship. If they would not repent, we should not have fellowship with them. We should not associate with them. A drunkard, those who keep on drinking, they should not be inside the fellowship. Or a swindler, those who cheat, those who come and cheat the people, take their money, bluff them. We need to take such kind of people out of the fellowship if they would refuse to repent. What he say here, with such a man, do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? If they are non-believer, that is not our responsibility to judge them. God would judge those outside and expel the wicked man from among you. But those inside the church, God call us that we'll be the one to deal with them and to judge them. Some people, they say, do not judge me. The word of Jesus in Matthew 7, do not judge or else you will be judged. What the Lord say here, he did not mean that you accuse the people without proof. But if there is a proof already, that is not what the Lord mean. If you don't have a proof, you cannot judge, you should not judge. But if you have the proof, then you are responsible to deal with that sin. Matthew 7 verse 1, do not judge or you too will be judged. But in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Here, when you are not sure about sin or about their life, you judge, or you may be just judging by external appearance. But when you are sure about the sin, that is not judge, as he means in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. When you are sure about the sin, you need to deal with it according to Matthew 18, verse 15 to verse 20. The next principle that we want to speak is about forgiveness. Verse 21 to verse 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now here in one side, we need to deal with sin. In the other side, we need to forgive. Now, when we expel somebody, that does not mean we did not forgive him. Or we are angry with him. No. We forgive him. But according to the word of God, we cannot associate with him. From our heart, if he come to say sorry, or he did not come, we need to forgive. But if he is doing the sin, as we discuss in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, and he is not willing to repent, if he is a sexually immoral, drunkard, swindler, greedy, idolater, and slanderer, we cannot keep him inside the fellowship. We forgive him, but we cannot associate with him. We need to forgive, because when we forgive, we will be forgiven. When we forgive, we can receive and enjoy the love of God, and also the others, they will receive the forgiveness of the Lord. Now, we must make it very clear. We need to forgive, but when the time will come when we will be asked about our opinion in regard to that, to the sin of that brother or sister, we say we forgive them, but what they have done is sin and they need to repent. That's the way. We forgive them, but they need to do this and this and this. Not for us, but for the Lord to be happy with them. If they will not do it, we still forgive them. But we cannot call them brother or sister if they have not yet repented of their sin. Verse 23 to verse 35, the Lord spoke a parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to chuck him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servant saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Now hear what the Lord say. He speak about those who repent and came to ask forgiveness. We need to forgive them and receive them. And even if they will not repent and they will come to ask forgiveness, we forgive them, but we not approve what they are doing wrong. If they are still doing wrong, we say to them, "We forgive you, but I cannot associate with you for the sake of the Lord and His word until you repent and come back to the Lord, then you are my brother. Now I forgive you from the depth of my heart. I will not be after you. I will not revenge. Even those who does not say sorry, even those who does not repent, we need to forgive them. We need not to retaliate or revenge or try to plot evil against them. We need to be away from them. They are not willing to repent. And continue to pray that God will grant them repentance. What they have taken, what they have, what we owe them, God will bring it back to us. Very important to know that if somebody had come and he's really repented and asked forgiveness, and he is willing to correct himself and reconcile and bring back what he have taken, then you ought to forgive him. If he is not having what he taken away and he is repented and he said that I have sinned, then you need really to forgive him. Suppose somebody, he keep doing wrong to you, and he keep asking forgiveness. Some people, they try to take advantage. If you know that he is not repented, and he still is going to do it again, you tell him, I forgive you. But please, I am not willing to be hurt from you all over again. I forgive you, but please, I can't associate with you, because you are still going to hurt me all over again. As we discuss here, the Lord's word makes things clear to us. The church is highly organized structure. God's word teach us and help us how to manage our life and our ministry in the ways of the Lord, doing His will and serving Him till He come and take us with Him to heaven. Let's pray. Kneel down and tell Him, Lord, I commit my ways and my life unto You, Lord. Thank You for Your word that had brought clarity in my life. Lord, I commit myself to follow Your word in dealing with sin and in restoring a brother or sister who sinned against You or against me. I will take a firm stand, O God, not to compromise. And Lord, I pray that I will exercise a forgiving heart to those who hurt me. I pray, Lord, You enable me to do that. I ask You, Lord, to increase my faith and let Your grace be abound in my life, so that I can achieve that for You. Lord, I pray for each and every brother and sister who commit himself, including myself, to obey You, Lord. Bless us and guide us and help us, give us Your grace to achieve that, so that Your church will be clean and our brother and sister who sin against You will be restored back to You. Lord, we forgive them, those who sin against us, from the depth of our heart, and we wait for You, Lord, to grant them repentance and bring them back to You and restore them to the church. Lord, take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and spread it and make it reach Your people who are waiting to hear Your word. We thank You, Lord. We bless You, Jesus. We thank You, Master. This is all we ask and pray. In Jesus' name. O Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let Your hand be with us. And keep us from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.